Thank you for blessing us and honoring us. And I hope this is on. It's coming. Thank you. I sincerely say thank you for your kindness, kind words and prayers. We need the prayer. You need the practice. But we really do appreciate it. We said it all, you know, it's not always easy to show it on your face. I could name a couple of you out there this morning. But the privilege of leading a church, the privilege of leading people, to be in ministry, to be able to have the opportunity to preach God's word. I remember when I was 15, crying at an altar at Bible camp, praying that God would call me into ministry. Brian, my older brother, had led me to the Lord, and he was sharing about a desire and a call on his life to do ministry. He quit university after his third year, and Mom and Dad were really happy with that. if you believe that, you don't know our family. Thought we were wasting our lives completely. And he just was so excited about the call of God in his life. And I remember going to camp and just, God, that call me. And the way he worked in my life was singing the song, I Surrender All, standing at camp as a 15-year-old, and it was like God said, do you mean it? And I was like, yes. And he said, okay. And it was like that simple, that clear, just the call of God. And so I'm blessed to be able to serve God and to see his faithfulness and to see his love for us and for his church. And for, you know, I could tell you too many stories, and I tell too many, but I just want to say thank you for faithfulness. And there's faithful leaders who've led this church, been part of the leadership, Carl and Russell and Eric and Candace, and as we said, Herman Yulani, we transplanted them to BC, just a number who have over the years have input and done so much in this house. And so next year is our 15-year anniversary, and maybe we'll celebrate some big stuff and invite some of the former guys back or whatever. I don't know. Maybe we'll all be in heaven by then. But it's good to celebrate the faithfulness of Jesus. Amen? So we're on our theme here. We're going, you know, to know Jesus, become like him, and do what he does. And we're going to continue that. And it's a little bit all over the place. We had the wedding, the marriage family stuff last week. And I hope you, like Russell said, I appreciate that reminder. I hope you're doing your homework. And it is good stuff. It's good to talk about. It's good to work through. Good marriages don't just happen. You remember what they were sharing. We have to be intentional. We have to work hard. We have to trust God and pray. You don't just get husbands like myself, Lord, just by chance. It's amazing work of God. But I hope you took something good from the weekend just for yourself. It's for family. It's for individuals. It's for all of us. And a couple of things that stuck in my mind was, you know, I think it was last Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, kind of all blurred together, but where they were talking about the individual curse upon Adam and Eve because of Adam's sin and because of Eve's sin. Adam's sin of just not being involved, not, what's the word he used? Passive. And Eve's sin of independence, making those decisions. And the curse that came with it of, you know, you'll be ruled over and you'll work with the sweat of your brow. You're going to, I was giving you a whole garden and you said no, so okay, now work. And so just take something good out of the weekend. And it kind of fits with what I want to share this morning in that what I'm talking about is we talk about some of the things that Jesus did and how that should help us and encourage us. I'm going to talk about a Sabbath, taking a Sabbath. And it's not something that I talk about much. It's not something we actually thought about a lot. But I've been enjoying going through and reading and just listening to stuff and reading about Jesus and what he did and how he did it and taking some truths from it. But the point I'm trying to get to with the marriage stuff or with Sabbath, which I'm going to talk about, is it doesn't just happen. You don't just go from 0 to 100. It's like you take steps. And I'm praying this morning that God would grab hearts around this whole idea of doing what Jesus did. And we got a number of those things over the next weeks, and that somehow it would grip you. And the thought I had is this. R.T. Kendall used to come to our church in Pretoria. He's written 1,000 books, whatever. Good, amazing guy. And he used to speak to us a lot. But just the whole idea that you have to take steps to get to where you want to be. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just, you know, you don't just fall into it. You have to say, okay, what is it God wants me to do? Okay, I'm going to start working towards it. And not getting discouraged, not getting, you know, giving up because you're not where you want to be. And so I'm just saying this, you know, as we talk about Sabbath now, as we talk about these marriage things, what is it you can take hold of and make a change with? So if it's around your relationships, what is it that, you remember the homework that we are given. And so what RT would say is his father, every morning, for as long as R.T. Kendall can remember, he would get up and he'd see his father reading the Bible and praying. And he asked his dad one day, so why do you read the Bible 20 minutes every morning before you go to work? And he had to get up early and he had to make it happen. And his father's reply was, because our pastor said to do it. Hey, I'm praying for that anointing this morning that as I speak on taking a personal Sabbath, and what does that mean, and what it can mean, that somehow, hallelujah, the anointing comes, and you will do it. I will do it. We will do it. And we'll talk about it, and we'll ask God for wisdom in it. And I hope it's something that stirs joy in your heart. Like, I'm preaching my message here, but it's like when we think of Sabbath, a lot of times or we think about doing the 9 things or whatever Jesus did, but however we describe it, if you're like me, and I said it a couple of weeks ago, you want to all of a sudden just organize this thing. Okay, Sabbath, check. Number one, done. Prayer, community. We'll get these things. We'll just tick them off. And that is exactly the opposite of what we've been trying to talk about with the changing of rhythms, with finding the paths and the ways of Jesus and a rule of life and changing habits. Show me your habits and I'll show you your friends and I'll show you your future. I'll show you what you value. I'll show you what you spend your money on. It's easy. But making those changes with God's help, that He would help us today to do that. Amen? So I'm praying for the supernatural anointing of Sabbath to jump on you this morning, and we'll see the weird things that we preached about the other day. Where's the weird stuff? We heard that at our conference. Where is the anointing of Jesus to come in and just mess up a service? Mess up your little plan. Mess up my plan. And I'm praying that you will do what the pastor says to do today. Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Everybody's committed to obeying completely what Jesus is saying through the pastor this morning. Put up your hand. No, don't. I appreciate that in the very back. Good for you. So let's pray. Father, bless your word. I pray that this holy, infallible, anointed word that you spoke to us and have blessed us with would speak this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I just want to read quickly verse 28. And 29, I made a slide. I hope you can read it. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what we're trying to talk about today, right? Jesus, not from Jesus. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. May God speak to your heart this morning. The danger, as I said, is trying to make these things into a list. Make them into something that feels like we've got more pressure, we got to accomplish something. Take that away this morning. This is That is exactly opposite of what we're trying to do in this series, in these next few weeks. And as we come up to the Christmas season and living lives and finishing this year and, you know, the stuff mounting and bills and taxes and what, I don't even know what's going on in lives right now. I know my own life, but this is definitely not to add another thing. It's like, oh man, I'm not doing something else right. No, this is like to encourage, to celebrate, to see the beauty of it. I like this example, you'll have to forgive me, but following Jesus is like playing golf. Huh. The easy part is to get a vision of what you need to do, the perfect swing, the right body stance, the correct angle of approach, and of course, make a par. The hard part is getting that vision into your muscle memory so it just naturally comes out of you without even thinking about it. Have you ever played golf? Yeah. I took 2 lessons. I almost could never play it again, just trying to figure out what he was talking about. We had South Africa, we used to play a lot of golf, and we traveled with the band, the Heaven's Gates Health Flames. So we'd be in a lot of churches every weekend, all over the country, all over the place. And we were down in White River, of all places, doesn't matter. And there was a really nice pastor there, but he was a really terrible golfer. And I've never seen a guy anywhere in the whole world line up to hit a ball like him. Like, I can't even do it, actually, but you know, the ball's down there, and you know, the proper stance, he got all these things. He would get further and further, and he's got this club, and he's twisting his, and he would take like 7 minutes to line up this thing and then hit it in the bush. It was like, I was like, okay, you got this, you've read some stuff, but it's not working. Like, you got to make some small changes here. You got to do something. But hearing sermons or reading books about following Jesus is kind of like watching YouTube videos on golf. It's a wonderful place to start, but you won't get very far until you put your shoes on and hit the golf course, until you actually do something. Most change comes little by little. Learning a new habit, developing a new rule of life takes being intentional, and it takes time, okay? So if we talk about doing what Jesus did, and we talk about a personal Sabbath, it's going to take some practice for most of us. And it also depends on the season you're in, and it depends on what that plays out like in your life. And I'll share some examples as I wind up this thing. But it's important to realize we need those times of rest, those times of coming apart, not coming apart, but coming apart and spending time with God. So Sabbath, number one, means to stop. I don't know what the first slide, yes, there we go. In Jewish thought, a rabbi's yoke refers to the particular way that a rabbi interprets and teaches the Torah, encompassing their approach to understanding Jewish law and ethics and spiritual life. When a disciple took on a rabbi's yoke, it meant he fully accepting the rabbi's interpretation and way of practicing the teachings of the Torah. This often involved adopting the rabbi's specific priorities, ethical outlook, guidance on how to live out commandments and values. Just as a yoke connects oxen to move in unity and direction, a rabbi's yoke was meant to guide disciples in a unified direction, bringing structure and cohesion to their lives through shared teachings and practices. So what it meant is, take my yoke upon you, we will actually start to look like, act like, be like Jesus. We will walk with him. We will find the rhythms that he found. That's what we are trying to look at this morning. That's why I read that scripture in Matthew. Do we embrace his teachings? Do we embrace Jesus' life? What he valued, what he taught. You know, I shared it a couple of weeks ago. I know you all remember it exactly, but just how Jesus invited John invited the disciples, come and see where I'm staying. And the Bible literally says they went with him, and they stayed. And that's how they became his disciples. That's how they walked with him. They ate with him. They lived with him. They followed him. And eventually, they did what he did. They started to preach. It took time, but they spent the time with Jesus. So I don't want to go back and repeat that, but it comes from knowing him, becoming like him, and then hopefully doing some of the things that he did. And so that's what we're talking about. Sabbath, do you have a Sabbath? Do you? Literally means Shabbat. The word literally means to stop. To stop. When we talk about a Sabbath, it's an entire day of your week, a seventh of your life, set apart to not only stop and rest, but to delight in and worship the God who made you to be with himself. So there's a lot involved. I like this quote. In ugly times, we need the Sabbath to keep our hearts alive to the beauty of God and life with him in his world. Here's my thoughts. Often counselors will prescribe rest. They'll prescribe sleep, time, margins. You get stressed out. People are anxious. There's all kinds of things going on in people's lives. When Lori and I have counseled people, we've sat with many young couples. We have a couple in Grand Prairie right now that we're meeting with online. Talk with families, talk with individuals who are going through difficult things. One of our very first questions, and maybe I'll ask the whole church here this morning. This is a great counseling opportunity. When we talk about Sabbath, but what we will ask is, what do you do for fun? And you should see the faces of people. Some have answers. Some are like, fun? What is that? I forgot what that was even. Like, what do you, you wonder why your marriage is a bit stressed. What do you do for fun together? Like, what do you do that's enjoyable? Like, hopefully coming to church is supposed to be a fun time. It's supposed to be a refreshing time. But what do you do? Do you have a Sabbath? Do you practice stopping? Not just to stop and just, zero out. That's part of it. But then to find rest and to find time with God and to be rebuilt and to be strengthened and to be built up. That's what Jesus did. Sabbath is as rest and delight is number one. Put up the next slide, I think. I don't have numbers on it. As rest and delight. I like that. Jesus practiced the Sabbath not as a legalistic rule, but as a day for rest, worship, and delight in God's creation. Amen? It's a time to stop work and trust in God's provision. Amen? It's biblical. But we don't turn it into a law and legalism. Because if we, there's whole church denominations built around the Sabbath, the Sabbato, the seventh day, very strong on the law of Sabbath and practicing it. And I don't know where you fit in that scale, but if you start down that road of too much legalism, well then, we can take on this whole Old Testament, and we got to realize that Jesus fulfilled the law. Amen? And we come to him and we find rest. That's what he's saying. That's where we fulfill and find that Sabbath, that eternal rest with him. But I'm not going down that road. I'm talking about practicing a personal Sabbath, a time like Jesus did, where he set it aside to go away, solitude, prayer, some of the things we'll talk about over the weeks, and he spent that with God. I remember being at a conference years ago with pastors, and whoever was speaking, I forget, he was saying, it seems like Jesus, all he did was go away, spend time in prayer, and come back and do miracles. That's not a bad way to live your life. And he practiced time with his Father. He practiced a personal Sabbath. If you've been around, you've heard me speak many times about the four chapters of the meta-narrative of God. Creation, redemption, mission, and consummation. Remember that? God is creator. That's a whole point of the Bible, one of the chapters. It's not like a specific chapter, but it's there. He created. Then he has redemption, the whole message of salvation. And then we have mission, the whole calling and the apostles and the sending and the mission that you and I are on. And then we have the end times, the consummation, when everything comes together. Is that okay? I don't have to preach that message again. But you just see God is working his plan out. We're heading somewhere. But part of what I want to repeat is that whole area of creation. As a young Christian, and there's a sister back there who remembers back in the days when we all got saved in the revival center, everything was about Jesus is coming. You better get busy doing something amazing for God. Missions, preaching. And if I would say in my life, I wouldn't say it's an error, but it was an emphasis that all about the mission, all about redemption, salvation, and getting people saved and getting busy for God and serving God. And it's still there. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's what God's called us to do. But I would say the whole area of creation was not a big emphasis in my life and over my lifetime. And as I get older, maybe wiser, I don't know, maybe lazier, I don't know, realizing what matters and what doesn't matter, and what maybe when we get to heaven, God might have a different picture of what was really valuable and what wasn't. But when we talk about creation, what we're talking about is stop and open your eyes. Look around how amazing God is, what he's created, what he's built. That's the thing I hate the most about this whole climate change cult that's got people freaked out. People aren't having children even. They're not even getting married because of climate change and stressed and taking pills and whatever. Look at what God's created. It's amazing. And he's given it to us. And we are to be caretakers of it and love it and enjoy it and use it. But I'm telling you, we don't worship it and we don't worry about it. We trust God that he's got this amazing plan. But creation involves all of that. Eating, drinking, partying, dancing, love, marriage, sex, life. He created us. Amazing. Yeah, and then we have a mission. There is redemption because of sin, and we need to be saved, and there is a mission to follow hard after God, and then we do go to heaven. Hallelujah. That's what makes sense of all of this stuff. But in living our life, there has to be a place of enjoying God. Enjoying just being alive. And, you know, there's a lot of condemnation. There's a lot of, I appreciated Helen's message, word in the prayer this morning. God delights in us to be in his presence, to be able to worship him, to wait on him, to wait and hear him speak. That's what we're talking about. He's created us. He made us. It's amazing what he's done and what he's doing in our lives. And don't just run past it. Sorry, I got a couple more examples. One is Lori's grandfather. Selma, you know, Lori was saying to me this morning, it's our very youngest, newest member of this church. Carla and Christian's little Ezra was born this couple days ago. He's in the hospital, and Selma, probably our oldest member, she's in the hospital. So we need to pray for all of us. But Selma's dad, Lori's grandfather, he would not work 1 ounce on a Sunday. That was his Sabbath. That was like law, I want to say. All the farms around him, they would be giving him a hard time. This is Lori's mom's testimony. You know, why aren't you baling your hay? The sun is shining. He's like, no, Sabbath. Take all 10, to church. Back home, rest, sleep, have a nice meal. Sunday, didn't matter if the sun's shining, it's supposed to rain the next day. And his testimony is, his crops always did the best. They always had a great harvest. He's in the grave long ago. Selma and I are getting closer. Do you think it mattered if he would have bailed a few extra bales of hay on that Sunday, or he took time to worship God, and his kids all served the Lord. And Lori and my kids and our generations of blessed people. What matters? In South Africa, there was a tomato company. I love this testimony. Biggest tomato company in Africa, probably, definitely in South Africa. XXX, whatever that tomato company was. His testimony was, same story. They would stop everything. I mean, they're talking about industry size tomato farming. And his testimony was, hail's coming, hail's coming, hail's coming, hail's coming, stopped at his fence. And he had thousands of acres of tomatoes. And if you know what little new tomatoes are like when hail hits them, it stopped at his fence. Just testimony like that. And I could talk long on his testimony, how God provided millions of rands through his company, and they were just faithful. We're not going to work on the Sabbath. We're going to take a day, and we're going to honor God. I like this, and I shared it before, but I found the text, Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. Hallelujah. You know that picture of the old dull axe, just keep hitting, hitting, hitting. You're wondering why, you know, you're doing less with more until you just stop and sharpen the axe. And I like this, the end, you know, but wisdom helps one to succeed. How's your axe this morning? Are you just beating that tree every day, just worn out, tired, exhausted, wondering what's the next step? Maybe it's time to just stop and sharpen the axe. Say, God, speak to me, show me. Okay? Number two, Jesus was simplicity. Jesus lived simply without excess, possessions, or distractions. We should adopt simplicity to focus on what truly matters, like relationships, purpose, and faith. Amen? Are you simplifying your life? See, when I took this sermon on this subject, this is not one of my strongholds. My powerful examples of life. But we've had seasons when life got very simple and seasons when it wasn't. And so, most of the time it wasn't because we were wise and smart. It was because we lived in Bukoba and there was actually nothing. No TV, no radio, no electricity, no food, nothing. And you know, you say, well, how do you live? But go to Bukoba in 1982 and you'll understand. But when it got dark at 6 o'clock, the day was done. And Lori and I were newly married, no kids, those first 4 years in Bukoba. We'd walk by the Lake Victoria. It sounds so amazing. And what we've said for years, why didn't we just enjoy that more? Like, the time we had, the freedom we had, the season we had to just, and we did, but we're like, we should have enjoyed it more. We're too stressed out about language and food and pesticides and malarias and whatever, and those were real too, just surviving. We were praying for Lohenberg's cow to have a calf so we could have some milk. You know, that it was pretty basic stuff, but just the simplicity of life to wait on God and to pray, and our whole life consisted of that and church services, because that's all there was. Go to the village, speak with the pastors, we'd put our tent in the corral in the middle of the village with the cattle, and we would preach for hours, and there's nothing else to do, and eat nice food, whatever was provided, some not nice food, and just, it was like, we should have enjoyed that more. And then seasons change, and you got, you know, 25 kids, and life is different. But what are you doing to simplify your life? Number three. I got four and then I got powerful conclusions, so hang in there. Silence and solitude. Jesus often withdrew to quiet places to pray and be alone with God. Regular periods of silence and solitude are essential for spiritual health and hearing God's voice. Amen? You should be shouting amen. Meditation and waiting on God is a lost and dying art. And I'm talking to me. And we have to fight for it. Because what happens is you quiet down. And we have quite a bit of freedom in our house. We have no kids. It's Lori and I. We're together. We can quiet down our life. And then the first thing that happens is, well, where's my cell phone? And you get caught on a rabbit trail. Somebody texts, and then before you're done, look what Trump is saying now. Okay, so you were too. I can see that. It's like, give us silence. And we've had seasons of it, as I said, over the years in Africa, different times. But you have to make a plan for it. And Jesus did it. He would go away. He would find a place to pray. Now, I remember, again, we were in Israel. Sounds very romantic. We're on the mountaintop or overlooking the Sea of Galilee. R.T. Kendall was our guide. He's praying with us. We're sitting by the cave. He said, this is my favorite cave. This is where I think Jesus came. And he prayed, and he could look out and see them straining at the oars. And we look at the Sea of Galilee. You can see the whole lake and all that stuff. And we're sitting there, and we prayed together. We prayed for this church that just had been planted. And we're sitting there, and I'm thinking, this looks pretty good. Just sitting by the shore of Sea of Galilee, praying with friends, with apostles, and hearing Jesus, and feeding 5,000, two little fish. That's a pretty good life. We need more of those times. We need more of that silence and solitude and time to hear God. Number four, last one. Slowing down. Jesus was never, he often withdrew, but he was never in a hurry, even in the midst of pressing needs, slowing down. Practicing the presence in every moment and avoiding a frantic pace are key to spiritual renewal. It definitely goes against the grain of our culture, amen? I don't know where that one came from, but maybe it fits in later. I don't even remember my own slides, but I think that's an extra one. But it's a good word. Thank you. I was trying to think, what am I preaching on again? You know, I know I got a short memory, but I'm losing it up here. It's definitely against our cultural way of life. To emphasize rest, simplicity, modeling our life after Jesus. You have to fight for it. You got to value it. You have to try to... Let me close by this. There's things to avoid when you talk about having a Sabbath. Just for an example, you don't have to be legalistic, but if you're taken from a Friday evening, that's a Sabbath, they start Friday evening, the whole day Saturday until the Saturday evening. That's a Sabbath. That's a one day of the week Sabbath. God took time to rest. Jesus took time to rest. So we're talking about a period of time. We're talking about taking 1/7 of your life and resting, stopping. Doesn't mean you die. It means you rest. It means you do things intentionally that are good for your soul and good for your life with Christ. But there are things that we should avoid. And again, not to be legalistic, but think about it. Working, shopping, scrolling, doing chores. I could keep going. There are things, when you're talking about coming away and finding solitude and finding rest, there's things that you need to avoid, right? Say amen. Good. But there are some things you can include. And you can make up the list yourself. Make your favorite meal. Drink coffee slowly. Sleep in. Get together with friends. Read. Take a nap. Go for a walk in the park. Journal. Call a friend or family member. Meditate and pray. Do a puzzle. No, I hate those things. Listen. Listen to relaxing music. No, I don't like music either. But when we're talking about a Sabbath, it's not to climb up a mountain necessarily, but you might. But to find a place that stops this world that just wants to crowd your brain and crowd your life and crowd your soul, crowd your everything, and stop it and find a pace and a place for a Sabbath in your life. And so you say, hey, how can I take a day like that? I don't know. Start with an hour. How about a Friday night? How about a Saturday morning? How about Sunday afternoon? I don't know. Something where you focus on your soul and you focus on your love with your family, with friend, with, and you do something that refreshes you and strengthens you. And I know we're talking to a society that, hey, man, they'll go to the lake for 4 days, and that's my right. And there's excess for everything. But many times, you know, I have a trailer, a fifth-wheel trailer. We treat it like a cabin because it's out at Brian's acreage out there. So we can go out there, we can quad, we have a fishing boat, we have some stuff. We have a place. And you can abuse that as well. But what I wanted to say is, if you turn that cabin life into just another job like your home, you're mowing lawns, you're fixing, I'm like, this isn't a rest out here. This is trouble. My grandkids driving those quads all over the place, and all I do is fix them and fill them with gas. This is not a Sabbath. I need to find a place. And so when we're at MFI, the pastor from Winkler, I think it's Winkler, he was talking about how he takes time a week, twice a year, to go away, to pray, to seek God, to find, you know, just direction for the church. And I'm listening, I'm thinking, that's fantastic. And he says, you know, that he used to go to BC, their church paid for it. I'm just putting that out there. And he was serious, and you can see the fruit of it in his church. But then he realized it's very expensive to go to BC, so they started to go to Cancun for all-inclusive for 7 days. And I'm like, yes, I like that. But his point was, and he's serious, is that he would take those time to find a rhythm with God, a voice of God. And I know there's people right sitting here who would take time to go for long walks and who would journal and write down what God is saying to them. What do you do for a Sabbath? What do you do to refresh your soul? Not look at your phone, not watch television, not listen to news, not stressed about finance. What do you do to find rest for your soul? That's my prayer, is that you would hear God this morning more than me. What Jesus says, come to me, my yoke is easy, my teaching, my way of life, my life is easy. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Yeah. It's light. It's not this, okay, another thing to do. It's Jesus, I want to follow you in a way that's, I enjoy what you've given me. Enjoy my family. Enjoy the world. Enjoy life. Why do you think we call this church Enjoy Life? We're going to have to change the name if we keep going down the road we're going. Stressed out, no one to choke, whatever. Like, God, give us a place where we can just find the peace and the blessing of God and walk in it and live in it. I like this quote, and I'm getting close to ending. If you work with your mind, Sabbath with your hands. If you work with your hands, Sabbath with your mind. So if you're a mechanic or a construction worker, whatever, take a Sabbath to just read the Word, back Sabbath with your mind. If you're a office person, a preacher, a businessman, you Sabbath with doing something, exercise, walk, do something that takes you out of your mind space. And find a place that you can rest in God. And sometimes it's walking. Sometimes whatever, I don't even want to name things. Golfing is biblical, by the way. It's good. It was Billy Graham who said, God will not answer prayer. concerning golf, but that's another ministry message for another day. I like woodwork. It's hard to believe it, but I do. You know, when COVID was on and we were quarantined, remember those mental days of COVID? It's like, don't get me started on that one. But we were quarantined. We came back from Africa. We're told, get back to Canada, you're never getting back. And we're flying back here, and it's like, has the world lost their mind? We get to Amsterdam, the airport is empty. The only people in there is this Chinese couple, totally hazmat suits, full hazmat. And Lori and I are buying a chocolate bar in the store beside them, and it's like, did we miss something? It's like, the place is empty. Anyhow, so I started doing woodwork in my garage, and that was in our other house, and set it all up. And it was actually amazing. When I went to Bible school, I framed houses. We built about 300 and some houses, we figured out, over those 3 years while I was at school, because we had half-day school, half-day work, and then 4 or 5 months in the summer. But it was like the best thing. Your mind is busy trying to understand, study, listen to sometimes boring stuff, and then to go and just work, it was so amazing, just to be outside. So that's what he's talking about when he says this. It's also the start of your week, not the end. If you can see coming to church like this as the beginning of a good week, this isn't the end of a tough week. This is God setting us up for a good week that's coming. It changes the way you see your week. It changes the way you step into the things. This guy, whoever he is, doesn't matter, Jefferson, describes his family Sabbath as a literal party. For them, it means ceasing from work, turning off their phones, celebrating how good God is by playing, partying, and eating good food. They welcome Sabbath on Friday night with a huge feast and observe Sabbath all day Saturday. Their only rule is to only do what's life-giving, special, and good for the soul. It's like celebrating a holiday like Christmas or Easter once a week without all the stress of anxiety of preparation. So what do you do for fun? Will you be intentional? Pretty quiet in here today. It's been quiet all morning. I think the Lord is working seriously with us, speaking to us. We'll be talking about some of the other things that Jesus did that really matter. But let's just stay with this. Do you practice a personal Sabbath? Do you find a rhythm in your life where 1/7 of your week, that's a stretch, would be set aside to worship God? And I can tell you, I'm not there. I'd like to be there. And we're working on getting there. But finding those rhythms that bring life. Is that okay? Is that not... I'm not trying to put more stuff that we need to do. But if we don't find a rest for our soul, if we don't find a rhythm, as a church, we're talking about as a church, but also as individuals, that gives life. We hear about burnout. We hear about people all the time. You know, we were at an ARC one-day conference here in the city, friends of ours. We go to it, Association of Related Churches. It was held at the Evolve Church. And the very first message was, don't lose your fight. You know, this and this and this will take you out. Don't quit. But I'm telling you that if you just are just whacking that axe again, if you're looking to this week that's coming like, oh man, then something has to change. And I believe God wants to change something in our hearts, that we stop. If you forget everything else I said, just remember, stop. Just stop. Turn it off. Back up. Get away from it. Just stop. And let God somehow start to seep into your soul again and into your home and into your life. And in the midst of an ugly world, many times, we need that soul refreshing time with God. I'm going to invite the band to come. The greatest Sabbath, of course, for all of us is Jesus, finding rest in Him. And if you don't know Him this morning, I would invite you to come and pray and say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. We'll pray. If you don't have that relationship with God, that's where you got to start. But this morning, what I would like us to just take a moment as we close out with a song, Russell, you can close how you like, is to just say, if you, maybe just close your eyes with me and take a moment. Father, I pray that this whole idea of a Sabbath, of a rest, of just stopping, just stop, would seep into our hearts and minds this morning. And I pray that there would be joy in this house. It would be a delight. It would be refreshing. It's not burdensome. It's not legalism. But there would be an attitude in our hearts, Lord, to come to You and find rest for our souls, that we would find the yoke of Jesus light. Oh, Jesus, You are so good. And I pray for each one of us, Lord, that there would just be a lifting of burden, a lifting of pressure and anxiety and stress. So as we're singing, I just ask you to just come and join me. If God is speaking to you and you say, pray for me, pray that I'd find rest for my soul. And I don't know what the issue is. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's just to reorganize, to find a new rhythm. I don't know. We'd love to take a moment and pray around this issue of Sabbath, of finding rest. So let's stand together. As we sing, I just want to invite you, if that's you, just come. Take a moment. Just make a physical act of saying, yeah, I'm going to step into this in my life. I'm going to ask God for wisdom in the midst of having children and new babies, in the midst of a business, in the midst of busyness. God, You're going to give me wisdom. So I invite you to come. We'd like to pray with you as we just sing the song and close, and Russell, be free.